Welcome to ENN Radio, a weekly podcast from Elon News Network that brings you the stories behind the stories. I'm Alex Hager. Thanks for joining us. We're going to get things going today with sports. After the Elon football team beat James Madison for the first time ever last weekend, some of the Vegas betting books had Elon as a 39.5-point underdog, making their victory one of the biggest in college football history. But more than that, this win is a huge bid for Elon's football legitimacy in the CAA. After going 4-20 for their first three seasons in the conference, the win over JMU feels like the crowning achievement in their massive turnaround that's played out since last fall. But the season isn't over yet, and there's still plenty of room for the Phoenix to stumble before the playoffs. We've got ENN Sports Director Jack Haley in the booth to talk about what's ahead. Jack, thanks for coming on. What's next up?
Alex, thank you for having me. And directly up next is tomorrow, the Phoenix take on the University of Delaware in Newark. This is an important game. This is a game for Elon to avoid the hangover from the JMU game and to really show that they are not going to be phased and that this isn't the crowning achievement, that they still have more to prove. Delaware's a good team. They're coming into the game 3-2 with one win in the conference and another tight loss. So this is going to be another true road test for Elon.
Still five games left, and there are some formidable opponents on the docket. What's going on the rest of the season?
After Delaware, the schedule does not get much easier for Elon. They play their last three games all against currently ranked opponents, including going on the road to end the season at the University of Maine. That's really going to be a huge test, and there's really going to be a litmus test for how Kurt Cignetti has prepared his team throughout the year and throughout his 2 years here at Elon.
With the win against JMU, with the way that Elon's been playing this year, there's a lot of talk about them being a real playoff contender this November, maybe in a way that they weren't last year. What's the difference this fall?
Well, last year we saw a lot of really tight games for Elon. Elon won six games by less than 3 points. They have shown a lot more consistency this year. They've shown that they can put up points, and they've shown that they can play their style of football, which they need to win. And just to put this JMU win into some context, in 2015, the Dukes beat Elon 51-0. That is an absolute trouncing. And then just the year after that, they beat them by 49 points. These are two very different teams that came into this game this past Saturday, and Elon again showed that they can impose their style of football, which is going to be incredibly important, not only for the last five games of the season against a tough schedule, but also for the playoffs looking ahead.
Well, Jack, thank you for putting all of this into perspective. Appreciate your input as always.
Alex, thank you.
Hurricane Florence may have spared Elon, but other parts of the state are still feeling the effects of the storm. Our reporter Maeve Ashbrook talked to some students who went down to the area hit hardest to lend a hand. She's here now to tell us all about it. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell me a little bit about where these students went and what they're doing down there?
So the students traveled to Fayetteville on Thursday, and they're partnering with the Second Harvest Food Bank. They need help organizing donations that they've got, packing those in boxes and putting them on trucks.
Now, like any part of a recovery effort, this one sounds like it could be kind of expensive. Where are they getting the money to do all this work?
Luckily, during Parents Weekend, they raised about $3,700, so they're hoping this will cover transportation and gas costs.
And the people who went down there to help, did you get a sense of why they wanted to go? You know, why they care about helping in this area of the state?
I talked to Mary Morrison, who's the director of the Kernodle Center for Service Learning, and she is so passionate about service. She's worked in higher ed for 20 years, and she says that the best part of her job is seeing students learn from community engagement here and take it back to their home communities.
We've got a little bit of audio from Morrison right here. Let's hear what she had to say.
For me, the exciting thing is to see students discover this work and to get out in the community and meet people that they would never meet and hear people's stories that they would never hear and to see the excitement that they have coming back and say, I got more from that than I gave.
Now, what about the kids, the Elon students? What did they have to say about their reasons for wanting to head down and help out?
Well, I talked to a senior by the name of Audrey Funk, and she's actually going next week to travel with the program, but she says that she feels a lot of her peers have basically forgotten that Florence happened, and she says that it's important as college students in North Carolina to stay updated and make sure to keep helping with relief.
Well, that group made their first trip down yesterday, but they'll be heading down again in the coming weeks. Maeve, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
A quick note on this story. After it was recorded, the Thursday trip was canceled due to weather brought on by Hurricane Michael, but they're still planning on going on a hurricane recovery trip in the coming weeks. Less than a week from today, Elon's newest president will be inaugurated in a ceremony in the new Schar Center. Dr. Connie Book will be at the center of all the pomp and circumstance, getting formally introduced to the school after starting the job back in March. Arcelina Guevara has been coordinating ENN's coverage of the inauguration, and she joins us now to walk us through what's going on. Selena, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on the show.
This seems like quite a production, given that she's already been president for months now. Is there any indication of why Elon's staging an event like this?
Well, to be completely honest, we've been asking that question as well, and we haven't quite gotten a clear answer yet. We asked Connie Book, and she was like, you guys let me know when you find out. Dr. Leo Lambert, when he got inaugurated, it was also 9 months after he started his term as the presidency, so it's not super unusual. We also interviewed Fred Young, who was the president before Leo Lambert was president, the seventh president of Elon, and he said that the inauguration ceremony is really all about bringing the community together. So it's an official way to celebrate Dr. Book starting her term as the presidency. And all of her like family is going to be here, her colleagues down from the Citadel, people who weren't here when she just started her job. She kind of took off running, and now we're slowing down and taking a sec to recognize the importance of her being a college president, because Elon has only had 8 presidents before her. She's the 9th president of Elon University. The average tenure for an Elon president is about 15 years, so this might be an event that we're not going to see happen again for a while.
So with how few presidents Elon has had in the past, and with this one coinciding with the opening of a big new event space on campus, it kind of makes sense that they would do a production like this.
Oh, absolutely. The last time there was an inauguration was in 1999, and some of the freshmen here weren't even born then, so it's a pretty big deal.
Now, turning a little bit to Dr. Book's experience, a lot of her administrative experience was down at her time at the Citadel, a military college in South Carolina. Now, Selena, you went down to Charleston yourself to talk to some of the folks down there. What did you learn?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, hearing about the Citadel being a military college and actually going there and experience it is two totally different things. I kind of knew in the back of my head that like it was a military college, but when I went on campus and I saw all of the cadets walking around in full uniform 24/7 doing their gun salutes and marches out on the field, and I learned that they have really tight schedules, they have curfews, they have mandatory study time, it's just a whole different world there from Elon. So the people that I talked to were some of her peers actually at the College of Charleston, who said that the Citadel, because it's such a traditional military college, can be really slow to change sometimes. And so they needed someone like Connie Book to come in from the outside with her new and radical ideas. And some of those ideas that she implemented was having a study abroad program for students, or letting students be able to take internships for credit and do academic research for credit. She even helped organize a Citadel in D.C. program so that people could study abroad and do internships in our nation's capital. And as I was learning all of this, I was like, sounds kind of like Elon. And she actually told me herself that, yeah, she took the Elon playbook and made it work for a public military college in South Carolina.
And earlier you were telling me a little bit about how her wellness routine was impacted by her time at the Citadel.
Well, whenever she's speaking at Elon, she always talks about how like getting up early and doing the workouts has been important and kind of was influential from her time there. But the other provost who was there said that wasn't mandatory. She's an administrator. The cadets are required to get up and do the 5 a.m. workouts, but she wasn't. And because she wanted to connect with the students, she went and did that anyway. So I heard nothing but nice things about her from all of her colleagues down there. They miss her a lot. And even though she was only there for 2.5 years, they said she made a great impact.
Now, looking ahead and turning our attention to this Thursday's ceremony, can you tell us a little bit about what ENN has planned for coverage?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're doing a live show. It's going to start 15 minutes before the inauguration ceremony. So it's going to start right at 2:45. And we're going to give a little bit of context about what campus was like during the past inaugurations, what some of the past presidents might have accomplished throughout their reigns. Also, a little bit of more of a look at her family, talking to some other student leaders, and then we're going to be live streaming the actual ceremony. So if you can't get here in time, we'll have that for you, and we'll be kind of explaining what's going on to give a little bit of context to some of the traditions and songs, because we know Elon loves their traditions. So we're hoping to be able to show you that and explain a little bit of it.
There are a lot of great interviews with Connie Book, as well as some of Elon's past presidents, and it all starts at 2:45 this Thursday, so be sure to tune in to that one. Selena, thanks so much for your insight on the new president.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Alex.
That's all we've got for this edition of ENN Radio. Thanks for tuning in. In addition to ENN's inauguration show, you can catch our weekly television broadcast on Monday nights at 6. Go to elonnewsnetwork.com for all the news you need to know when we're not on the air. I'm Alex Hager. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.